Welcome to Breaking News to Trading News. We're looking at the market's reaction to, renewed expectations for Federal Reserve rate cuts. It caused a very immediate and visible flow of capital across the market.
That's right. The core idea here is pretty straightforward. When traders start placing firmer bets that lower rates are coming sooner, it just sets off a chain reaction. We need to look at that immediate behavior, the capital rotation that follows, money moving from one place to another.
And what we saw was a clear risk-on capital rotation. This wasn't a slow drift. I mean, you had the Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq all rallying for a third day in a row. The market was basically repricing everything on the idea that lower borrowing costs were just around the corner.
And for you, the listener, understanding this is key. It's not just random buying. It was deliberate, almost mechanical positioning based on how different businesses fare under different financial conditions. Our goal here is to just map out which sectors and which specific companies saw the money flow in the winners and which saw it flow out, the losers.
Okay, let's start with the winners. Where the money rushed in? The logic seems pretty clear. If borrowing costs ease up, those long-term growth stories, they just look a whole lot more attractive.
Exactly. Their future earnings, say 10 or 15 years from now, aren't discounted as heavily back to today's value.
This is where we saw that quick move into the mega cap tech platforms, right? They're sort of the definition of these long duration assets.
They really are. And there's real math behind it. If you're forecasting earnings way out in the future, even a modest 1% drop in the discount rate can, boost the present value of that company's cash flow by 5 to 8%. Instantly.
And that justifies a higher stock price right then and there. So who were the main beneficiaries?
We're talking about the titans. Apple, that's AAPL, and Alphabet, GOOGL. Both of them closed near new records on the day this sentiment really took hold.
And why them specifically?
Well, their business profiles make them almost a default choice when rates ease. They have incredibly strong cash flows. They're always doing share buybacks. And this is key. They are pouring money into high value projects like artificial intelligence.
So they're seen as quality growth that benefits when the valuation math works for them.
That's it. And that optimism didn't just stop with the giants. We saw it extend to companies focused on AI driven communication and social media.
Right. The halo effect.
Absolutely. When the cost of capital comes down, you see a spike in enthusiasm for advertising and subscription models.
Because those depend on consumer spending and marketing budgets, which tend to loosen up when the outlook improves.
Yes. The analysis pointed right at Meta Platforms, META, and of course the subscription king, Netflix, NFLX.
Both are pretty central to that digital engagement theme.
They are. And they're both leveraging AI in a big way for things like content recommendations and ad optimization. So they're riding that same wave of optimism positioned as these essential high growth stocks.
Okay, so that covers the big quality growth names. But the rotation wasn't only about them. We should probably get into the smaller, more cyclical companies, the ones whose fortunes are tied much more closely to the immediate economic picture.
We absolutely have to. We need to focus on small caps and retailers. They are highly sensitive to the economic outlook. If you think of mega caps as these luxury liners, small caps are more like speedboats. They get hit the hardest when rates are high.
But they get the biggest boost when that expectation changes.
Immediately. Yeah, their sensitivity is much more extreme compared to, say, an Alphabet, and it really comes down to their capital structure.
How so?
Most of them just don't have the huge cash reserves the tech giants do. They're relying on things like variable rate debt and credit lines to operate. So a high rate environment can really squeeze their margin, sometimes to nothing.
So the moment the Fed signals a friendlier policy, that risk of financial distress just falls off a cliff.
It does. And traders see that as an opportunity for some major upside because all those friction points are about to ease up.
And we have a couple of specific examples here. The automation company Symbotic, that's YM, and the retailer Kohl's, KSS.
These are great examples of that synergy between the macro mood and company performance. Kohl's had a bit of its own good news, a small earnings beat.
But that got amplified.
It got amplified tenfold because the entire sector sentiment went from deep skepticism to cautious optimism overnight. The rate cut hope was the fuel. And the company news was the spark.
And Symbotic.
Symbotic is tied to supply chain efficiency, so it benefits when companies feel confident enough to spend on big projects, which, is encouraged by cheaper money.
Okay, now we have to look at the other side of this. For every dollar that went into growth, a dollar had to come from somewhere else. And surprisingly, some tech-related names got hit.
This is where we saw clear profit-taking. The AI chip makers, names like NVIDIA, NVDA, and Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, they saw some pretty substantial outflows.
That seems a little counterintuitive with all the excitement around AI. Why take profits there?
The thinking points to an immediate concern about long-term competition. It was the perfect reason to lock in gains after that massive run they've had.
What was the specific concern?
The narrative that took hold was that their biggest customers, the big tech platforms we just talked about, are looking at developing their own AI chips in-house.
So their biggest buyers are signaling they might become their own suppliers.
Precisely. And this isn't some distant threat. We're talking about real operational programs. You look at Amazon's work on chips like Graviton or Google's investment in their Tensor Processing Unit, their TPUs.
They're already using them.
They're already using them and capturing some market share within their own systems. For a specialized component provider, that is a major long-term structural risk. So traders saw that and decided to de-risk.
Okay, so beyond those high-flying chip makers, money also came out of classic defensive positions. This is textbook behavior when risk appetite returns, isn't it?
Yeah.
Investors leaving their hiding spots.
It is. It's what we call a duration switch. When the market is fearful, money hides in defensive utilities because they're stable and pay dividends, almost like a bond.
And when optimism returns,
that same capital moves right back out, looking for higher volatility plays.
Which utilities are we talking about here?
NextEra Energy, NEE, and Southern Company, SO. These are slow growth, rate-sensitive companies. They just become less attractive when bond yields soften and high-growth stocks look more rewarding.
And the logic held for consumer staples too, right? The low-growth areas.
Absolutely. Think about Procter & Gamble, PG, and Kimberly-Clark, KMB. They provide stability. I mean, people buy their products no matter what the economy is doing, which is great during volatile times.
But they offer limited upside when the market is rallying.
Very limited. Their movements are slow, predictable. So when the broad indices were pushing higher on those rate cut hopes, traders were clearly selling that stability.
Selling stability to buy potential future growth, fueled by cheaper money.
It was a clear consensus trade. The market decided future growth was the priority, and the need for that defensive stability was, for now, receding.
So, to bring this all together for you, what we saw was a very tactical flow of capital. It was driven entirely by expectations around Fed policy. Money moved methodically out of defensive, stable assets, utilities, staples, and street into growth-focused and rate-sensitive cyclical assets, from mega-cap tech to small caps. The market was just quickly positioning for a period of lower rates.
And that positioning leads to one final thought to consider. Think back to what's facing component providers like NVIDIA and AMD. If their largest customers, these mega-cap tech companies, truly commit to developing their own hardware, what does that imply for their own structure?
How so?
Well, will we start to see these massive tech platforms less as pure software companies and more as, I don't know, industrial conglomerates that control their entire stack from the physical chip all the way up to the final algorithm? If your biggest buyers become their own dedicated internal suppliers, it changes the entire capital spending profile for the sector. And, well, those new dynamics are going to be essential to watch going forward.
The views expressed here are purely the opinion of the author. This is not financial advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any security.